This afternoon, our study is entitled Five Things to Do, and we take our reading from 1 Corinthians 13. We'll look at verses 13 and 14, which say, watch, stand fast in the faith, be strong, or be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. You could call this a very practical message as Paul closes his first letter to the Corinthians. Now, Paul had spent about a year and a half or so in Corinth, so he was familiar with the city. He knew it was a foul place with a seaport that offered all kinds of debauchery, along with a temple dedicated to the false goddess of love called Aphrodite. And as Paul comes to this city with the gospel of Christ, he had this background, or he knew these things about this place. He had worked as a tent maker, according to Acts 18, verse 3, and he helped to establish the church there, and he eventually left Corinth, and he writes now this letter back to the church there, to people he knows in a city that he knows real well. And at this point, he doesn't know that he's going to end up later writing 2 Corinthians. So he pretty much packs it all into this first letter, addressing a plethora of issues they had there, from marriage to communion to laying by in store to rules of the assembly to many other things that we could go into. But things which our common knowledge really to you and I today, but sources of controversy in their world, and of course could be in our world today as well. And as he closes this letter, it's like he's leaving them with five things to do. And we want to look at these five practical things to do, but before we do, we'd like to approach God in prayer. I'll ask you to humble yourself as together we pray. You know, every congregation has problems. We know this because congregations are made up of people, and people have problems. And if you look at the church at Corinth in very much detail, you might think, well, they seem to have more than their share. Well, be that as it may, they are given some direction on how to handle their issues. Five things to do. And as we look at this reading, you might think, how can you get five things to do out of these two verses? Well, let's have a look. He says, be watchful, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and do all things with love. We want to look at these for a while this morning and try to dissect each of these points. So we'll take them one at a time. We'll start with be watchful. We need to be watchful for challenges that we might see a long ways off, and for challenges that might just be right under our nose, so to speak. Sometimes we get distracted. Things pop up before us and go unnoticed. And Paul says, be watchful. And when he says that, he means the same thing that Jesus did whenever he said to take heed, like in Matthew 24 and 4. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Watch yourself. Or Mark 4, 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Luke 11, verse 35, we could look at. Therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not in darkness. And Mark 13, verse 33, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. I'm going to throw in also 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest you fall. So we're encouraged to protect ourselves. When we think we stand, you might be at your most vulnerable. You've heard that before. As advice given to you from those who might be older. You may have known someone who was driving as an example, and all of the safety features on their vehicle were working. the brakes, the lights, the door locks, the airbags, but the headphones they were wearing and turned up loud prevented them from hearing the siren and the honking of the emergency vehicles that were going through the intersection ahead of them, and as a result, they were T-boned and lost their lives. The person was distracted. When we babysit for somebody, or even for ourselves, I suppose, we try to think two or three steps ahead and take precautions. And Jesus is saying, think two or three steps ahead when you live your lives. When you go someplace, when you associate with certain people, make sure you keep from drifting. Always keep your guard and watch yourself. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus connects being watchful with prayer, because he says, watch and pray. And he said this at a time when troubles were brewing in Jerusalem. There were plans that were being made to crucify him ahead of time. Things going on his disciples knew nothing about, and he saw them drifting off to sleep. But Jesus knew what was going on, and he tells them to watch and pray. And he tells you and I today, this is what you can do. This is what I can do. We can be watchful, and we can also ask for help. We can ask for God to help us to be watchful. Help us in our lives. The spirit is willing, he says, but the flesh is weak. We can watch, but we have our limits, don't we? We can only see so much. So pray to the one who has no limits, that we can avoid temptation. Watch but understand that we are limited, so pray as well, knowing our limits. You know, the disciples might not be able to handle what was going on in Jerusalem, but God could. And we might not be able to handle everything in our lives, but God can. We need help to make the right decisions, and God can help us. And we do what we can, but because we're limited, we pray to the one who has no limits. You know, the last time I had surgery, they used anesthesia on me. I had to have surgery two consecutive days, two different surgeries. And I didn't feel a thing due to the anesthesia. But the doctor gave me prescriptions for pain medicine. He told me, get these filled because it won't be long, you're going to need these. He warned me of the pain that would be forthcoming. He gave me a way to get ahead of the pain. And in life, we have our difficulties. In life, there are things that are brewing here, there, and everywhere that we don't even know about. And so Jesus tells us, watch and pray to get ahead of the pain and the difficulties in life. We also are encouraged to stand fast in the faith. This means to be unwavering, uncompromised, rooted and grounded in the faith, we could say. The word faith can be used as a synonym with the word of God. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Jude verse 3, a familiar verse. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. To be steadfast in the faith is to continue our walk with Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 2. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How do we prove that we follow Jesus? He says, well, you stand fast in the word. That's how. In John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, Jesus said, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So to be fruitful, Jesus says we abide in him because without him, well, we just can't do anything of ourselves. Separate from him, we have no productivity, you might say. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Unmovable means to be firm and fixed. And that's how we want to be in the Lord. Abounding in the Lord. Proving ourselves as His followers. Doing our best to be productive. Always steadfast, firm and fixed. Now, all of these descriptors that we read about here in verse 58, they may seem to mean the same thing. But the word immovable, that leads us to feel that something is going to come along that tries to move us out of the right way. We're familiar with 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10, be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may be able to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood, by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The word sober means to exercise self-control. The word vigilant means to be watchful. How do we resist the devil? He says, well, it's really simple. Be steadfast in the faith. Lions will roar the loudest when they are hungry. And the devil, he says, is like a roaring lion seeking him to devour whomever he can. So that tells us the devil is always hungry to devour whoever he can. Can you imagine trying to resist the devil without your faith, without the word? Well, we can't do that. What else is there to stand fast in us that allows us to resist Satan? And the more we resist, the more we put up a fight, the stronger we become, because God is in the plan. God, the God of all grace, will make you perfect, or will perfect you, as it's used here. The word perfect means that God will mend you after you've suffered a while. Strength through resistance. God will establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know, in Peter's day, fishermen would drag their nets through the sea. At some point, they would pull them up, loaded with fish, and slam them down on the deck. And day after day, this was their goal. They would try to do this. After a while, they would have to take the nets to shore to mend the nets because they would become damaged. Now, the same Greek word used to describe mending a net is used here when he says God will perfect you. That net is you and I. That net is us. He mends us, and after we have suffered a while but stood fast, he needs to mend us. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? Sometimes life does that to us. It feels like we've been dropped, dragged through the cold water, slammed on a deck, and emptied out. And every bit of that serves to damage us to a point, because it happens over and over. And that's how life is. Peter says, be steadfast in the faith, and God will make you what you ought to be. He'll make you strong where you are weak. He'll mend you when you have been broken. And we need that, don't we? We're also encouraged, one thing we can do is to be brave. Be courageous. Sometimes it takes courage to live the Christian life. It takes courage to return from a setback. It takes courage to resist temptations. It takes courage to be holy in an unholy world. In Psalm 78, verse 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle, it says. They were armed, but they turned back. They shied away from battle. Now, the children of Ephraim were descendants of Joseph. They were fit to fight, armed, but then when the day of battle came, they were not brave. What about us, spiritually? We're fit for the battle. We're armed. We have the helmets of salvation, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Our feet are fitted with the gospel of peace. We have the skill and the knowledge that we need, but when we're faced with temptation, we sometimes melt in the time of battle, failing to speak when challenged, failing to correct others when the opportunity is there. In the day of battle, the children of Israel proved what they really were and, well, were the same way. Have you ever thought that that one person in God was a majority? The Bible tells us it is. One person with God is a majority. And we have to remember what we have going for us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. 1 John 4 and 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. With all of this going for us, there's no need to turn back in the day of battle. You know what all this means? If we lack courage, we really have no excuse because of all we have going for us. In Joshua 1, verse 9, to close this point on, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What else among five things to do can we do? We can be strong. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, he says. A man wondered one time, how can I be a stronger Christian? How can I be a better example? Well, he says here what to do. And this man spent a lot of time in bookstores trying to figure it out, but the answer was right under his nose the whole time. A couple of desires are mentioned in verse 2 here. We have to desire the milk of the word, and we have to desire to grow. To do something, you have to want to do it. And Peter goes on to tell us that we're not supposed to stay at entry level. You know, you hear that expression in job titles sometimes. We need to hire an entry level such and such. My job is this, but I'm considered entry level. Well, as Christians, we're not supposed to stay at entry level. We're supposed to grow. Desire the milk of the word and desire to grow. Peter tells us, don't stay at entry level. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of their senses, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we see this encouragement. Dull of hearing means lazy in listening. When enough time has passed, we should be able to teach others instead of always relying on others to teach us, everything to us. The writer says you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God, he tells them. In other words, he's talking to some people here who have gone backwards. They've regressed in their Christian walk. And he tells them, you need someone to teach you again the first principles. In other words, you need to move forward instead of backwards. Strong meat or solid food belongs to those of full age. If we had gone over to the building behind me here, like we did, and we sat down and the ladies were preparing the tables and people were doing their part to put food on the tables, and we got ready and we offered thanks and we lined up and everybody starts moving forward to populate their plates. But then you look up and all you see on the tables are baby bottles full of milk with nipples. Would we just casually walk up there, grab a couple of bottles, keep on talking to somebody, sit down, and get ready for our meal? No. We would look at the tables, we would look at each other, we would look at the ladies, and we would say something like, what is this? What's going on? This is not for us. We're way past this. We need strong meat. We need more than this, because we're beyond this. That would be embarrassing. The Bible tells us to grow up spiritually. I can't grow for you, and you can't grow for me. We are responsible for our own spiritual growth. Where does the work, the strength come from? In Ephesians 3:16 through 20, he that would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The Word of God, he says, is the instrument that God uses to strengthen us. And the more time we spend studying the Word of God, the stronger we become. We get strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. Power, strength, and courage. Where does it come from? It comes from the Word of God. Have you ever wanted to go to the gym and lift weights to build yourself up? A friend of mine did that because he told me that he just always wanted to be stronger. Well, in Acts 20, verse 32, so now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word, he says, is able to build you up. Ephesians 6 and 10. Be strong, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, we're told the fifth thing we can do is do all things with love. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, Love one another fervently with a pure heart. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. If you love someone enough, you learn to be patient with their flaws. You learn to give them time to make changes for the better. In so doing, you could say that, well, love has covered a multitude of sins. A sister in Christ asked one of our preachers one time, you know this verse, I've been thinking about it a lot. Does this verse mean that someone else is saved if I just love them enough? And the preacher says, no, sister, that's not what it means. But it does prompt you and I to reach out to them and try to help them to get right. That's love covering a multitude of sins. James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So love each other to the point you're willing to help turn them back. Do you remember the rich young ruler in Mark 10, how Jesus looked at the man? Mark 10, verse 21 says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. That's challenging, I guess, sometimes, isn't it? To look at someone and not see them for who they are, but rather for who they could be. To see potential. To see somebody at their very best. To see someone in the way they want to be seen. And that's love. And Paul said that love said, let everything be done in love. When we lived in Midland, someone among us had reached out to a man who had been fired from his job for using drugs. After several months of working with him, we managed to help him in baptism. But for the next 3 years, well, we learned how tough his situation was. He was in and out of church duty, you could say. He returned to the drugs off and on. We helped him and get into rehab and were very patient with him and helped him in very many ways. Eventually, he did come out and come clean. Eventually, his wife took him back. They got remarried. Together, they bought a house. He held a responsible job for several years. And some people along the way thought we were wasting our time. All they could see was an alcoholic and a drug addict, but others saw potential, what he could be. And the difference in the two different perspectives was love. And we tried to remind others, we're supposed to do all things in love here. And let me tell you, love had to cover a multitude of sins for a very long time with this fellow. There were times before he got better that we let him sleep on the church floor in the building. There were times where we would have to send out emails or call people and tell them things. If this fella contacts you, do not talk to him because the police are looking for him and he is dangerous right now. Don't talk to him. Don't help him. But you love him. We love him. So let's not give up on him. And I guess about 6 or 7 months ago, he was doing well, watching TV, eating some fruit, and he died of a massive heart attack. And it was very painful for everyone who knew him, because one thing that someone said about him, you know, the first time I saw him, I thought, my initial thought was, wow, there's someone who really needs the church. But now that he's gone and I look back, do you know what I think about? It occurs to me that, wow, we actually needed him more than he needed us, because he was so transparent. When he would come back and make confessions of fault and ask for our prayers, he was so transparent, and we miss him so very much because of that. So when we help rescue someone and help save his soul from death, we cover a multitude of sins. And we helped him by doing all things with love. So, as we conclude, Paul and Jesus tell us, be watchful and pray, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and do all things with love. This concludes our study this afternoon. If you need to make something right with God, if something is weighing heavily on your heart, we stand ready to help you as we can. We'll ask you to stand now as we sing the invitation song.